Savvy real estate investors hold their property one of two ways: free and clear or mortgage to the hilt. I'll explain why next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may very well be aware that I have a YouTube channel and I have over 1,000 educational videos on that channel. You may want to subscribe. It's free. It's called Three Dimensional Wealth. And recently I was posting some new content as it relates to how to own real estate. And this is a concept that a client shared with me that years ago, in 2007, 2008, he came to one of my educational events. And he had been listening to me, and he owned a bunch of rental properties, apartment complexes. And he could see the writing on the wall based upon what I was sharing. And so he basically liquidated all of his apartment complexes back then, and ended up getting about $1.3 million that he repositioned, which he did not lose after the 2008 market drop, not only in the stock market, but in the real estate market, where a lot of real estate properties dropped in value around 25-30% or more. And he was so grateful for that advice. But he came to an event, and I actually asked it was meant to be a rhetorical question, but the room was full of a bunch of financial advisors, real estate professionals, CPAs, tax attorneys, and so forth. So how should you own real estate? And he raised his hand at the back of the room and said, either mortgage to the hilt or free and clear or anywhere in between, you may get into trouble. And I said, wow, where did you learn that? And he said, from you. And so he said it saved me from losing probably $500,000 based on a portfolio of about 1.3, 1.4 million of real estate back then. Okay. So let me explain this to you and why it matters. Okay. Now, my first lesson where I learned this happened in 1982. If you haven't heard the story, my wife and I built our third home in 1978, a beautiful 6,400 square foot, six bedroom home on a canyon rim, 2 acres in central Utah. And we did not pay a down payment. Okay. We've never paid a down payment for any piece of property we've ever acquired. We've satisfied down payments, but I never use my money. I keep my money liquid. I understood you have to keep your money liquid and safe in case you need to get to it, because if you pay a big down payment into the property and you get into trouble, for whatever reason, you lose your job or it becomes vacant or whatever, the mortgage payment becomes due. No matter how much equity you have in the property, if you can't get to it, because most lenders, when you need it the worst, it's the hardest to get, because they don't loan you money based on the amount of equity you have necessarily. They loan you money based on your ability to repay first and foremost. And when you need the money, you can't get it. And so that's why I keep my equity out. The big problem I had is that I built this home for about $150,000 back in 1978. When we moved in, it was valued, appraised at $305,000. It was worth twice what we built it for. So we thought we had the world by the tail. But that $150,000 of equity wasn't because I put $1 of my money into it. It's because of the appreciation of the property. And I learned a couple of years later in the 1980 recession, where in Houston, Texas, for example, 16,000 homes got foreclosed on, and these people didn't all of a sudden become bad people. They just couldn't make their mortgage payments. And it doesn't matter if they'd been paying extra principal payments against their mortgages, and they called their mortgage banker and said, hey, I calculate I'm about 5 years ahead, and so I'm just going to coast. No, it didn't matter how much they paid in extra principal payments against the mortgage. The next mortgage payment is due. And if you get behind, 3 months, they can start foreclosure proceedings. And that's why 16,000 homes got foreclosed on in Houston, Texas. They had too much equity in their property, but they couldn't get to it. And so that's why in 1980, we had three things happen to us we never dreamed would happen simultaneously. A supervisor in the firm I was with was dishonest, embezzled some money while they investigated him for 9 months. Three of us had our incomes frozen, and all three of us got behind on our mortgages. Now, I fortunately had a duplex I sold that had equity, and I brought my delinquent mortgage current. And I had a timeshare at a ski resort that I sold for triple what I paid for it and brought the delinquent mortgage current a second time. But not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel, not knowing how long I was going to be without an income, we put the house on the market and we listed it for $295,000. No takers. When there's more supply than demand, values plummet. I lowered it down to $285,000, $275,000, $265,000, $195,000. Now, I will never forget the day my wife and I went into the county courthouse on the courthouse steps and at the sheriff's auction. We watched that beautiful home get foreclosed on. Now, I went out that very day and bought another home with no cash, no credit, because my properties that I purchase have nothing to do with whether I have cash or credit, and that's another topic. The point is, the mistake I made, I thought because the house was worth twice what I had into it, that that was a good thing. That $150,000 of equity was nothing but a number on a sheet of paper if I could not access it. So I learned that lesson, and the next time my house went down in value significantly was in 2008 to 2009. And my home went down in value from about $1.5 million down to $1.1 million, $400,000. But I didn't lose a single dime because I had kept my equity separated from the property. And I had critics out there that went, neener, 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 Mr. Andrew, you're underwater. You owe more on your house than it is now worth. I was in control. Did I care? I never missed a beat with my mortgage payment. I had a bunch of money that was liquid and safe in my favorite financial vehicle, which I call the laser fund, which was compounding tax-free at 8% net, cash on cash. My mortgage at the time was 4%. How much more is 8 than 4? Okay, don't say 4. It's 100% more. I was making twice as much tax-free interest on my money than the net cost of the mortgage. So on that $400,000 of equity, that if I would have plowed that money into the mortgage, I would have lost it for sure when the house went down in value. It would have taken several years to make back that loss. I didn't lose a dime. I was making $32,000 the very first year on that $400,000. And the net cost of the mortgage is only $16,000, okay? Would you hire an employee for, $16,000? Or would you buy a widget machine for $16,000? That made you an extra $32,000. That's 100% return on equipment cost. Are you getting it? So I was in control, and that's why I had been teaching people, you know what, if you own real estate, really there's only two ways I would recommend. Either mortgage to the hilt and keep all of your money in a separate vehicle that's liquid safe, compounding at a rate of return that maybe is 100% more than the net cost of the mortgage. This is how money works. But keep it liquid. Otherwise, wait until you have enough money to totally pay it off, and then you can have it free and clear if you want. But the property will go up or down in value, regardless of how much equity or money you have tied up into it. But see, real estate equity is not liquid when you need it. It is not safe from loss of principal because real estate values go down at least once every 7 to 10 years during these cycles. And it does not earn a rate of return. When you separate it, it can earn a rate of return double the net cost of the mortgage. And this is simply how money works. So this applies to rental properties, commercial properties. My commercial building in 2019 to 2020, I was able to maintain the liquidity, because I actually had a first, second, third, and fourth mortgage on that property, and I came out ahead. I have a friend, a wealthy landlord, who is a billionaire, and he kept all of his commercial buildings mortgaged to the hilt. And during the COVID-19, he was able to weather it when he had so many vacancies and people move out, because he was in control of that money, because it was not tied up in all this extra money that a lot of real estate investors shell out in extra principal payments. And then they're trapped and they lack liquidity because they leveraged without liquidity. Okay. Leverage without liquidity is stupidity.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Your family bank can make 100% to 500% rates of return. In the previous segment, I was talking about if you're a real estate investor, if you own rental properties, why savvy real estate investors will usually hold their properties one of two ways, either mortgaged to the hilt and keeping your equity separated in a position of liquidity and safe from market volatility. And that's why many choose to put their money into a laser fund. That's one of my favorite financial vehicles because it accumulates tax-free. You can access the money income tax-free. And this is where a lot of savvy real estate investors realize that they can keep their properties leveraged with full liquidity, because leverage without liquidity is stupidity. And then when they have enough money, if they choose, they can just pay off their real estate in one fell swoop. And so the only other way I would own real estate would be free and clear. But anywhere in between, and I have all kinds of horror stories of people who lose their real estate because they were leveraged without liquidity, okay? Now, I'm going to segue in this segment into what a family bank is. Now, a family bank is more than just about financial assets. But in this segment, I'm going to talk about how many savvy people set up a family bank, and they are able to become their own banker, so to speak, which is a concept that I've been teaching now for nearly five decades. Now, the best way to be your own banker, I feel, is by utilizing indexed universal life insurance contracts that are maximum funded and they're structured correctly and funded properly so that you can earn a rate of return like I have, averaging since 1980, 9.62%. But since 1997, when indexing came out as a strategy, 11.17% by using diversified indexing strategies and by rebalancing, which is what we come and teach at our educational events. You may want to come and learn about this or you're going to miss out, okay? But let me tell you what it does, and then you can come and learn how. Now, folks, sometimes I ask people, like I did in the last segment, would you buy a widget machine, let's say, for $50,000, if that widget machine made you an extra $100,000, how about $250,000? How about, you know, if you bought a widget machine for $50,000 and it made you an extra $250,000, what rate of return is that on equipment cost? Okay, $50,000. How much more is 250 than 50? That's five times. That's also called 500%. It's like, would you hire an employee for $50,000 if that employee made you an extra $250,000? That's called a 500% return on employment cost. Well, what am I talking about? Now, when you accumulate money to keep it liquid and safe from market volatility, and you want to earn a predictable rate of return that is at least double or more the net cost of maybe acquiring those funds, or maybe it's just an opportunity cost, the opportunity you're giving up when you just have a piece of real estate, let's say, that's just totally paid off, okay? That real estate is going to go up or down in value regardless of whether it's a mortgage to the hilt or free and clear. But see, when you are able to keep your money in a liquid, safe environment so that when the real estate goes down in value, that you don't lose. So during my career, there have been periods of time where we have had recessions like 1980. And again, in 2008, when my house went down in value by about 30%, I never lost one dime because my money was not tied up in my property. That money, which was $400,000, my house went down in value $400,000 in 1 year. And that $400,000 was actually earning in my laser fund, compound interest tax free. The very first year, 8% net cash on cash. 8% on $400,000 is what? $32,000 tax free. And my mortgage, even if it was 6% tax deductible, that's a net cost of 4% in a 33% bracket. So on $400,000, you know, I was paying $16,000. So how much more is $32,000 than $16,000? It's 100% more. Would you pay $16,000 for a widget machine if it made you an extra $32,000? That's just the first year. So that's 100% more. Okay. Now, when you have a maximum funded insurance contract structured correctly and funded properly, it is what I call a laser fund. LASER is an acronym that stands for liquid assets, safely earning returns. Okay, so you're doing it to keep your money liquid, safe from market volatility, whether it's the real estate market or the stock market, and it's earning a predictable rate of return, not pie in the sky rates of return, even though some years, like March of 2020 to March of 2021, many laser funds credited people as much as 61.33%, because when there's anxiety, there's opportunity. The market dropped 30%. I'm talking about the stock market in March of 2020 due to COVID-19. And the financial advisors that I point my students to, they contacted many of their clients who had the opportunity to link that month, because the probability that the market would be up from a 30% drop was highly likely. And of course, a year later in March of 2021, the market was up 66.33%. Now, there's a 5% fee or charge when you choose a one-year point-to-point with no cap. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's a strategy with indexing. And so when you see that opportunity, you can seize that. So they didn't get 66.33. They had to subtract 5 percentage points off of that. They netted 61.33%. And we had a client in California that in March of 2020 had $852,000 in his laser fund. He didn't add a dime to this, but a year later, in March of 2021, it was worth $1,387,000. He made $535,000 tax-free in one single year. Now, that doesn't happen very often. This person has probably averaged around 11%, sometimes maybe even 14% by diversifying into various indexing options. And that's what we teach at these educational events. The point is this. Let me give you an example of a savvy real estate investor who has owned laser funds, and that's where this real estate investor keeps his money liquid and safe when he's managing his real estate complexes and apartments. His specialty is buying apartment complexes that need to be fixed up. They're distressed. The seller wants out, and he has a list of buyers. But what he does is he buys these, and then he fixes them up and flips them because he doesn't like to continue to own them and be a landlord. He's like me. I don't like to fix toilets, evict tenants, and take out the trash. I just take advantage of being able to buy low and then sell high. Okay, and so he contacted me in 2017. He said, "Doug, I've got an apartment complex that I want to tie up. I need $1 million out of my laser fund in order to cover an earnest money agreement." And he knows, you know, he'd done this many, many times. And so he says, "Send me the form." It's only a one-page form. He puts his name at the top of the form and his policy number on his indexed universal life insurance policy, which he calls the laser fund. Okay. And so he has two choices. He can withdraw $1 million out of that, or he can borrow $1 million. Now, he's savvy. He understands how money works. He borrowed $1 million. Why? Because if he borrows, he has a couple of choices. He can borrow at 2%. and they'll credit him 2% on the million that he left there as collateral because the insurance company is loaning him money based upon the $1 million of cash in his insurance policy as collateral. That's called a zero wash loan. Instead, he borrowed at 5%. Why? Because they continued to credit him whatever the index did that year, and he knew 2017 was probably going to be a good year. Yeah, he earned 25% on a million. He made $250,000 on that million, leaving it in the insurance company, but he borrowed against that at 5%. Now, he didn't have to write out a check for 5% on a $1 million loan. That's $50,000. They deducted $50,000 from the $250,000 they credited him. He netted 20% or $200,000 tax-free on his million while he was using that money to buy an apartment complex, fix it up and flip it and make another $3 million.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.